The Great Second Advent Movement by J. N. Loughborough, Chapter 26, Our Foreign Missions. It is written, "To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Romans 15, verse 21. Our first mission to a field outside of the United States was opened in 1874 when Elder J. N. Andrews was sent to Switzerland and there began work. The Central European Field. Eight nations were at that time included in this mission, namely Switzerland, France, Italy, Turkey, Belgium, Spain, Portugal, and Greece, and a territory containing 140 million people. It may be of interest to mention at this point the circumstances that led our people to enter upon a mission so vast in territory at a time when the denomination was numerically weak. Elder Tchaikovsky. In the year 1865, Elder M.B. Tchaikovsky, a converted Polish Catholic priest who had accepted present truth, desired our people to send him as a missionary to Central Europe. As this was impractical at the time, he presented his case to the First-Day Adventist of Boston, Massachusetts, who perhaps considered him entirely disconnected from our people. Be that as it may, they secured the means required and sent him to his desired mission, Sabbath keepers in Switzerland. In 1866, he taught the Sabbath truth and the third angel's message in Tramelan, Switzerland, which effort resulted in bringing out a company of Sabbath keepers. Soon after, he left them to teach the message in Hungary. He said nothing to the company in Tramelan of our work in America, but Albert Vollmermeier, one of the number, could read English. He, by chance, saw a copy of the Advent Review. Through this means, a correspondence between the two countries was begun. Elder Erzenberger sent to America. In 1869, James Erzenberger of Tramelan was sent to America for the purpose of learning the English language and becoming more fully acquainted with the doctrines and usages of the Seventh-day Adventists. He arrived in Battle Creek June 18 and remained in America 1.5 years. He left New York on his return trip September 9, 1870. In June of the same year, Adhemar Vollmermeier visited this country, where he remained about 4 years. On his return to the homeland, he was accompanied by Elder Andrews. They arrived in Neuchâtel, October 16, 1874. In 1875, Elder D. T. Bardot and his family left America for France, where they were appointed by the committee to labor. A French paper started. In the following year, in July 1876, there was begun at Basel, Switzerland, the publication of a paper in the French language entitled Les Signes des Temps, The Signs of the Times. May 13, 1882, 6 years later, Elder Haskell sailed from New York City for Europe. While on this missionary tour, he spent more or less time in Switzerland. Elder Whitney goes to Basel, death of Elder Andrews. July 26, 1883, Elder B.L. Whitney and his family arrived in Basel, he being appointed by the General Conference Committee to take the management of that mission to the relief of Elder Andrews, whose health was rapidly declining. A few months later, in October of that year, he passed away. Elder Andrews did not in early life enjoy the advantages of the higher schools and colleges, yet he was well-educated, being what the world calls a self-educated or self-made man. By his application to study, he mastered Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, and in later years, the French language. The French language he acquired for its aid in opening and prosecuting the work in the Central European Mission, where he labored for the last 6 years of his life, writing for and publishing the French Signs of the Times, as well as preaching in that language. It was while thus laboring that he fell under the hand of death. Dr. Kellogg in Europe. In the spring of 1883, Dr. J. H. Kellogg visited Europe in the interest of medical research. He spent a few days at each of our missions, and his visits were a source of much encouragement to the workers. Especially was his advice in regard to the work at Basel greatly appreciated by Elder Andrews. Elder Butler visits Europe. At the General Conference held in October of 1883, it was recommended to begin as soon as possible the publication of a paper in England. As the result of another vote passed at this conference, Elders G.I. Butler, M.C. Wilcox, and A.C. Bardot went over to assist in the work in Europe and England. Elder Butler landed at Glasgow, Scotland, February 27, 1884. One object of Elder Butler's visit to the foreign missions was to learn by personal observation the difficulties in the prosecution of the work in foreign countries and how to overcome them. He, too, spent more or less time in Basel and in the Central European field. A.C. Bardot labored among the French people in the valleys of the Alps, among the Waldensians, while M.C. Wilcox connected with the printing and editorial work in England, remaining until the close of 1886. Publishing House erected in Basel. In 1884, the publishing house, Imprimeur Bollicocht, the name signifying printing in many languages, was erected in Basel. In March 1885, H.W. Kellogg was authorized by the General Conference Committee to visit Basel and purchase the necessary machinery for the printing house. This he did, and thus was a well-equipped printing plant owned by Seventh-day Adventists established in the ancient city of Basel. During the time of Elder Butler's visit in Europe, a German paper called the Herald der Walterweit was printed at the Basel office. The same year, a Romanian journal, Averlu Present, Present Truth, was also published at this office. And still another in Latin called Ultimo Messaggio, The Last Messages. Both of the last named journals were 16-page quarterlies. At the Swiss Conference in October 1884, it was stated that during the year there had been printed and circulated of these four journals 146,000 copies. Up to 1895, the time the printing office, in consequence of persecution in Basel, was removed from that city to Hamburg, Germany, there were published books and tracts in 11 different languages, such as French, German, Italian, Romanian, Spanish, Bohemian, Russian, Dutch, Hungarian, Armenian, Turkish, Turkish Greek. So it was, as its name signified, an institution printing in many languages. Mrs. White's visit in Europe. September 3, 1885, Mrs. White and her son, W.C. White, and family arrived in Basel. 1.5 years were they in the old countries, visiting the missions located in the Central European field, where invaluable service was rendered to the various missions. The Swiss Conference organized. September 10, 1885, the Swiss Conference was organized. In a report given at that time, it was stated that the conference was composed of one ordained minister, 7 licentiates, 10 churches, and 224 members. These paid a tithe the previous year of $1,645.11. Besides, these donations had been made to the work of $2,041.22. Elder Wagner in Europe. Mrs. White and W.C. White and family returned to America in 1886. The same year, Elder J.H. Wagner was invited to connect with the Central European Mission. He spent over 2 years in this field, making his home during this time at Basel. It was in this city that his death occurred October 20, 1889, as previously stated. The failing health of Elder Whitney and his subsequent death, April 9, 1889, was another grievous stroke to this mission. Elder Robinson in Europe. Elder D.A. Robinson, who was laboring in England, was chosen as the successor of Elder Whitney. He labored efficiently in this district for about 6 years when, by invitation of the General Conference, he left for India in the year 1895. His removal necessitated the appointment of another superintendent, Elder Holzer, superintendent of the field. Elder H.P. Holzer was the man selected for the position, and in addition to this office, he was chosen as the manager of the whole Central European Mission. Here he labored untiringly and efficiently until 1901, when he too was obliged to succumb to the ravages of disease. He died in Canyon City, Colorado, September 11, 1901. Notwithstanding these adverse circumstances, the mission grew and the work advanced, as shown by a report made to the General Conference in 1895, which states that the Central European Conference is composed of 19 churches with 484 members who paid a tithe the previous year of $4,378.18. They had at that date 4 ordained ministers and 5 licensees. The German-Russian Mission. In 1870, J. H. Linderman, pastor of a church near Elberfeld, Prussia, and 40 of its members, began the observance of the seventh-day Sabbath from the study of the Bible, not knowing of another company of Christians in the world who were keeping that day as the Sabbath. A knowledge of this company was conveyed to our people in a peculiar manner. A beggar called at the mission home in Basel on the Sabbath. The family were studying the Sabbath school lesson with Bibles open before them. The scene impressed the man and led him to ask questions. The Elberfeld Company, on learning that they were not Jews but Christians observing the seventh-day Sabbath, he spoke of this company at Elberfeld. Elder Andrews thought it was wise to investigate the statement. Therefore, in company with Elder Erzenberger, he went to Prussia in the early part of 1875, where they found the company as represented. Elder Erzenberger remained for some time laboring in that part of Germany, and on January 8, 1876, 8 persons were baptized at Elberfeld, being the first baptism by Seventh-day Adventists in Germany. The truth had gained a foothold in Russia as early as 1882 through reading matter sent by the German brethren in America to their friends in the German colonies of Russia. Elder Conradi in Europe. In 1885, Elder L. R. Conradi left America for the Central European field to labor among the Germans. On June 28, 1886, he left Brazil for the Crimea, Russia. Here, in company with Elder Perk, he journeyed to Berdenbolat, where 2 sisters were baptized and a church of 19 members was organized, this being the first Seventh-day Adventist church in Russia. Elder Conradi and Perk imprisoned. Immediately after this, Elders Conradi and Perk were arrested for teaching contrary to the Orthodox faith and were imprisoned for 5 weeks in Pirikop. After his release, by the intervention of the United States minister, Elder Conradi visited eastern Russia and then returned to Switzerland. Work on the Volga, Russia. It was during this same year that Elder Lofbahn began to labor in Russia near his home located on the river Volga. In the year 1880, Elder Klein of Kansas entered upon work in German Russia, and thus have laborers been raised up for this hard and difficult field as though the believers had been subjected to banishment and imprisonment, the Lord has remarkably blessed the work. Success of canvassers in Germany. In the year 1880, coal porters began work in Rhenish Prussia, Wittenberg, Baden, and Elsie. So successful were the 8 or 10 energetic, faithful workers that in 1 year the following number of books were sold. Life in Christ, 3,000. From Eden to Eden, 2,000. And 12,000 pamphlets. As a result of this labor, in nearly every place the books were sold and read, some, one or more, embraced the truth. Mission opened in Hamburg. In May 1889, the mission work was opened up in Hamburg, Germany, by Elder Conradi, and in a very short time, a training school for workers was instituted. The following October, a Sabbath school of 28 members was organized. It was during this year that Elder Haskell visited the mission, and a church of 20 members was organized and a book depository established. Elder J. T. Bochcher was at this time engaged in the German work at Barmen. A report was given in 1890 to the General Conference stating that in the German-Russian mission there were 9 organized churches with an aggregate membership of 422, besides 75 Sabbath keepers not yet organized. On April 7, the same year, 12 more were baptized and united with the Hamburg Church. In December, the membership of this church had increased to 40. The amount received on book sales from the depository in Hamburg, Holland, Russia, and various parts of Germany was $5,000. Success in Europe. Slowly, but surely, the work advanced in the Central European mission, as indicated in a report given at the General Conference in 1891. There were at that time 5 churches in Germany with a membership of 140, 64 of whom were members of the Hamburg Church. The tithe paid was $1,000. The books sold on the ships by the ship missionary in Hamburg amounted to $500, while the sales of the canvassers for the year in the entire field were $6,000. 150 had accepted the truth in Austria, and there were 13 churches with a membership of 400 in Russia. 5 Russian Sabbath keepers banished. About this time, 1891, 5 of the members of a Russian church, including the leader, had been arrested for teaching doctrines contrary to the established church and condemned to 5 years banishment to the Transcaucasus. They were to be chained together and were required to walk 500 miles. In this trial, their faith sustained them, and they were happy in the Lord. During the year, a pamphlet had been prepared in the form of Bible readings in the Russian language on the sufferings of Christ, sleep of the dead, which day and why, and can we know? At the time of the General Conference in 1895, the membership in Germany had increased to 368, and the tithe the previous year was $2,327.43. More Sabbath keepers in Russia. In Russia, notwithstanding very many had emigrated to other countries, the membership had increased to 467, who paid a tithe of $841.60. From the statement made by the Foreign Missionary Secretary in the week of prayer reading for 1896, we learn that in the German-Russian field during the previous year, their numerical strength had been nearly doubled, their number being augmented by an addition of over 400. In Berlin, Germany, 60 were attending the regular Sabbath services. The erection of the mission chapel in Hamburg had strengthened the work there. In Munich, in Bavaria, a number were waiting baptism. There were believers in Leipzig, Konigsberg, Magdeburg, Posen, Stuttgart, and other leading towns in Germany. There were also a company in Rotterdam, Holland. In Russia, coal porters had obtained permits from the government. Translations of literature had been made in the Lettish and Estonian languages. The German paper had been moved from Basel to Hamburg, and at that office they were printing the truth in 14 languages. Baptism in Hungary. During the year, the first baptism had occurred in Hungary, and the first ordinance meeting in Bohemia. A ship mission had been established at Galitz in Romania for the Danube and the Black Sea. Canvassing in Germany. In the home missionary for December 1895, Elder Spies said of the canvassing work in the German field, quote, "Those in charge of the canvassing work, when it was begun in this field, did not cease to push it, although assured by some of the leading publishers and bookmen in Leipzig that selling books by subscription would prove a failure." Close quote. In August of 1887, the first edition of The Life of Christ was gotten out in the German language. About the time the book named was ready for circulation, a canvassers' institute was held in Basel. This marked the beginning of the canvassing work not only in Germany, but in all Europe. The seventh edition of this book has now come from the press in the German language. Since January 1, 1895, 12 new canvassers have entered the field. In June 1895, the report showed 50% increase in sales. At present, a special effort is being made with Herald der Waldreit, our German paper. Some not very large churches take from 50 to 200 copies, which they sell, and they have very pleasant experiences with the purchasers. In the review of February 18, 1896, Elder Conradi said, "We close 1895 with 1,500 Sabbath keepers in the German-Russian field." Close quote. The Scandinavian mission. The mission to the Scandinavian people was opened by Elder John Matteson in the year 1887. On the sixth day of June, he arrived in Vigil in Jylland, Denmark, where he went to that country. There were few who had begun the observance of the Sabbath through the reading of papers and tracts sent to them by friends of America. In tracing the rise of this work, we learn that in 1850, four persons had moved to America from Norway, began to keep the Sabbath of the Lord. They resided in Oakland, Wisconsin. Two of this number were the father and mother of Elder O. A. Olson. In 1863, Elder John Matteson began the observance of the seventh-day Sabbath. He lived in Posipi, Wisconsin. In the next 6 months, through his laborers, about 40 Danish Norwegians embraced the doctrines of Seventh-day Adventists. The first active preacher who united with them in the ministry was Elder J. F. Hansen of Minnesota. The first book published in Danish-Norwegian. In the year 1866, Elder John Matteson applied to the managers of the Review and Herald office to ascertain if they would print for the use of the Scandinavians pamphlets and tracts in their language. He was informed that a lack of funds at the office forbade their doing so. But there were persons of his nationality in Wisconsin and Minnesota who were so anxious to have the truth printed in their mother tongue that although they were in moderate circumstances and numbered less than 50, they raised $1,000 in cash and placed it in his hands for that purpose. With this money and a quantity of neatly prepared manuscript, Elder Matteson came to Battle Creek and again made application for printed books. As he was prepared to meet the objections previously made, his desires were granted, In March 18, 1867, he began the reading of his manuscript prepared for his book, Live Og Dog, Life and Death, to Elder J. N. Andrews and myself, who were then members of the Committee on Publication. In other words, he told us in English what his manuscript said in Danish-Norwegian. Elder Matteson becomes a printer. At that time, there was no printer who could be spared to set the type for him, and so he begged the privilege of learning to set it himself. He continued at this work until he had about 1,000 pages of pamphlets and tracts printed in his own language. With this new means for disseminating the truth among his people, he went forth with renewed courage, holding meetings in various states. From that date, the work advanced quite rapidly among the Scandinavians. The first foreign periodical. The work among the Danish Norwegians had assumed such proportions that a demand was made for a monthly paper in which persons of that nationality could receive instruction and encouragement in their own language. Therefore, on January 1, 1872, there was issued at the Review and Herald office a Danish monthly, a 24-page journal in magazine form bearing the name Advent Tidings. The following year, the size of this journal was increased to 32 pages. It was the first periodical issued by Seventh-day Adventists in a foreign language. In 1874, the interest was such among the Swedish-speaking believers that a 16-page monthly was started in that language called Svensk Herald. At the time, Elder Matteson entered upon the mission to the Scandinavian people, June 1877, in the Old Country. 266 copies of the Tidindi were being sent from America monthly to Denmark and 60 to Norway. Through reading these journals, a number of persons were already keeping the Sabbath in Scandinavia. As a result of his labors for 1 year in Denmark, companies of believers were raised up in several different places. A printing office in Norway. After this, Elder Matteson went to Norway, where June 7, 1879, he organized a church of 38 members as the result of his labors in Christiania. Elder J.P. Jaspersen from America joined him in the ministry about this time. In that year also, a publishing association was formed in Norway and property purchased in Christiania for a printing office, meeting room for church services, and living rooms at a cost of $14,580. For a time, a small edition of a paper, Tenderness Ting, was issued weekly from the Christiania office. In the early autumn of 1880, Elder Matteson came to America to obtain help to enlarge the Scandinavian work. He attended the General Conference of that year and returned to Europe in April 1881, greatly encouraged. Soon after his return, a cylinder press was purchased and placed in the Christiania office. Health journals in Danish and Swedish. They at once began the publication of a health journal in Danish called Sundhedsbladet. In 1883, he issued a similar journal in Swedish and a religious journal called Scandinavians Herald. In 1884, they possessed an office outfit valued at $2,563. During this year, there have been printed and circulated 115,000 papers in all, besides many thousands of tracts and some books. Elder Haskell in Scandinavia. The work in the Scandinavian countries received much help from the visit of Elder Haskell in 1882, and in 1884 they were materially aided by the labors of Elders G.I. Butler, B.L. Whitney, A.B. Owen and E.G. Olson. Mrs. White greatly aids Scandinavia. In 1885, Mrs. E.G. White and her son W.C. White made a visit to Scandinavia, which was one of the inestimable value to the work in that field. Some had gotten the idea that tithes could not be paid by the poor in that country, and that it was useless to try to canvass for books. The testimony borne by Mrs. White was timely and well received by the people, as was evinced by the response given in these words, quote, "All that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient," close quote. During this visit, an entire change was effected in the Scandinavian field, produced principally by the untiring laborers of Mrs. White. New office building erected in Norway. In 1886, Elders O.A. Olsen and N. Clausen visited the Scandinavian countries, the latter remaining there quite a length of time. In 1885, a new office building was erected in Christiania, and for the year ending September 1, 1886, the office realized from the sale of books and tracts alone the sum of $5,386.68, while the amount received on subscriptions to periodicals was $3,146.03. 25 churches in Scandinavia. A report given to the General Conference in 1889 stated that in the Scandinavian field, there were 25 churches with 926 members who paid a tithe of $2,548.75. It also had 6 ministers, 4 licentiates, and 52 canvassers. The book sales for Norway and Sweden in one quarter were $2,161.26. School in Christiania. A school at this time was in operation at Christiania with 50 students. In 1891, a Bible Institute was conducted at Christiania by Elders O. A. Olson and E. J. Wagner, with 100 pupils in attendance. At this institute, thorough instruction in the canvassing work was given. 40 churches in Scandinavia in 1895. 6 years later, 1895, we notice a report given by Elder D. A. Robinson, then the district superintendent of the foreign field, which shows so clearly a marked growth in the work during this period of that time, that we quote as follows, quote, "Scandinavia has 40 churches and 1,458 members. The year's tithe was $5,585.55. There are 15 ordained ministers, 11 licentiates, and the book sales for the year amounted to $40,000. This large amount is principally due to the efforts of the canvassers, and that too in a country where, in 1885, booksellers and even ministers of our faith affirmed that selling books by canvassing could not be done. 3 Scandinavian conferences. In the Scandinavian field, there are at the present time 3 conferences. The dates of organization being as follows: Denmark, May 30, 1880, Sweden, March 12, 1882, Norway, June 10, 1887. Elder John Madison, who first opened the Scandinavian mission and pioneered the work so successfully, and who labored so earnestly and sacrificially for the prosperity of that people, was stricken with that fatal disease, consumption, and died in El Monte, California, March 30, 1896, aged 61 years. The British mission. William Inks, a native of Hampshire, England, but an American in spirit and education, having lived in the United States from boyhood, reached Southampton from Basel, Switzerland, May 23, 1878. At this time, his stay was brief, being only 2 weeks, when he returned to the continent for a short time. Soon afterward, however, he again went to Southampton, where after 4 months of house-to-house labor, distributing tracts and doing such missionary work as presented itself, he reported 10 keeping the Sabbath. December 30 of that year, my wife and I arrived at Southampton, where our labors were united with those of Elder Inks in holding meetings during the winter in Shirley Hall and in our own hired house. In the summer of 1879, we held tent meetings at Southampton. At this time and place, Miss Maud Sisley, now Mrs. Boyd, connected with the work, giving Bible readings and doing house-to-house labor. As a result of this effort, several embraced the truth. In the following winter, we held meetings in a hall in Ravenswood Villa, the building in which we lived and had our depository. Tent meeting in England. In the summer of 1880, Elder Andrews, though feeble in health, came from Switzerland to assist in a tent meeting at Romsey, where other persons embraced the message. January 11, 1880, a tract society was organized. In this work, the members were much interested and much literature was distributed. February 8, 1880, our first baptism occurred and was administered to 6 candidates. Up to July 2, 1881, 29 candidates had been immersed at Southampton. Laborers increased in England. By vote of the General Conference, held in the autumn of 1881, Elder A.A. John and his wife, G.R. Drew, and Miss Jenny Thayer went to England and connected with the work in that mission field. During the year 1882, Elder Haskell visited the European field and spent a number of days with the workers in the English mission, rendering valuable help by way of counsel and advice. In March 1882, a 2-page British supplement to the Signs of the Times began to be printed and was attached to 1,000 copies of the signs which were sent from America. These were used in the missionary work in Great Britain. A report of the work October 1, 1883, shows that there were at that date 100 Sabbath keepers. The tithes paid from the opening of the mission were $2,078.71. Ship missionary work. Through the courtesy of the ship keepers, Elder Inks was permitted to send packages of tracts and papers free to 80 of the principal ports of the Peninsular and Oriental Steamship Company. In South Africa, East and West Indies, Central America, and the Bay Islands. It was through the influence of the reading matter thus sent that the interest was first awakened in the island of Demerara. This information we received through letters from the island. History of the Sabbath placed in English libraries. A copy of Elder Andrews' History of the Sabbath had also been placed in 60 of the public libraries and free reading rooms throughout Great Britain, and there the books are still telling the story to those willing to read. In 1884, Elder Butler visited England, accompanied by other laborers for this field. Elders S. H. Lane and Robert Andrews sailed from Boston to join the mission in Great Britain, May 9, 1885. The visit of Mrs. White to England was a source of strength and encouragement to the workers. Mrs. White and her son spent a few weeks there before their return to America from the European field. Present truth started. In the early part of 1884, soon after Elder Butler's arrival in England, it was decided to begin at Grimsby with M.C. Wilcox as editor, an 8-page semi-monthly paper called The Present Truth. The same is now being published as a 16-page weekly at London, England, with a weekly issue of some 18,000 copies. In 1889, Elder Holzer reported the British mission as consisting of 8 churches, with 200 Sabbath keepers, of whom 65 were in London. The tithe for the previous year was $1,244.58. There were 2 ordained ministers, 2 licensees, 2 ship missionaries, and 7 Bible workers. It was about this time that elders W.M. Hutchinson and Francis Hope entered the English mission. The Pacific Press in London. During the year 1890, the Pacific Press Publishing Company of Oakland, California, established a branch office at 48 Paternoster Row, London, and a printing office at 451 Holloway Road, London North. The book sales from the office for the first year at wholesale prices were $9,556.89. In February 1895, Elder Robinson rendered the following report, quote, "In Great Britain, there are 11 churches, 363 members, 5 ministers, and 1 licensee. The tithe for the past year was $5,077.20, or an average of $13.98 per member. The property of the publishing office is now owned and managed by the International Tract Society, Limited, an English corporation," close quote. In December 1895, the Foreign Mission Secretary reported for Great Britain a membership of 560. The tithes had increased during the year $1,000. At that date, 8 companies were meeting on the Sabbath at different places in London. Thus, the work in this mission field advanced at times almost imperceptibly. Seeds do not spring up in some kinds of soil as quickly as in others. Their germination is slower, but their growth is surer and heartier. So with the truth of the third message in this kingdom. Its seed has been sown, taken root, and grown slowly till now it has reached comparatively large proportions. The Australian Mission. May 10, 1885, Elders S. N. Haskell, J. O. Corliss, and his family, M. C. Israel, and his family, W. M. E. Arnold, and Henry Scott, sailed from San Francisco to open a mission in the Australian field. 11 years before this time, in 1874, at a meeting held in Battle Creek, Mrs. White said that many nations would yet receive the truth and that she had seen printing presses running and books and papers being printed in various countries. When asked to specify what countries were referred to, the reply was that Australia was the only name she could remember. The Bible Echo. Under the earnest and successful labors of Elder Haskell and Company, the message was so rapidly advanced that the printing of a paper in Australia was deemed necessary. Accordingly, arrangements were made for publishing, and on January 1, 1886, a 16-page monthly was issued at Melbourne called The Bible Echo and Signs of the Times. Of the first number, an edition of 6,000 was printed, while the regular issue was only 3,000. First Church organized in Australia. Sunday, April 10, 1886, the first Seventh-day Adventist Church in Australia was organized. There were 18 present who had signed the covenant, and 7 others applied for admission by baptism. These were baptized the following Sabbath, and each Sabbath for a number of weeks, members were added until the church numbered 55. Up to May 1886, the entire number enrolled was 90. Besides these, there were about 35 in other places who were keeping the Sabbath. In the printing office were 2 good presses and an engine, all paid for and owned by Seventh-day Adventists in that far distant land, about 7,000 miles from our large office located in Oakland, California. During 1886, the message extended to New Zealand. A report from the Australian field states that there were 50 Sabbath keepers in New Zealand. The amount received from book sales at the office was $700. Besides this, the canvassers had sold 400 copies of The Great Controversy in New Zealand and 1,000 copies of Thoughts on Daniel in Australia. Australian Office Building. From a report rendered July 19, 1889, we glean the following facts. A building for a printing office in Melbourne has been completed, containing a chapel for church services. Tasmania entered. A conference had been organized both in Australia and in New Zealand, and the work extended by Elders Israel and Steed to Tasmania. In the latter places, three churches have already been organized with an aggregate membership of 136. Besides these, there are other scattered Sabbath keepers not yet organized. The tithes for the year in the Australian field were $9,371. There were 15 canvassers in the field whose book sales amounted to $19,500. In Elder Haskell's second trip around the world, he again visited Australia, attended their conference held in August 1889, and in many ways rendered efficient aid, which was much appreciated by the newly organized company. Different workers from America have from time to time visited Australia in the interest of the one great cause, the upbuilding and strengthening of the work of God. Mrs. White in Australia. In the fall of 1891, Mrs. E.G. White, her son, W.C. White, and Elder G.B. Starr, and others left California for Australia, arriving there in December, midsummer in that continent. The testimony of Mrs. White, notwithstanding the bodily infirmity under which she labored during the 9 years of her sojourn in that land, aided greatly in placing the work in a proper relation to the spirit and tenor of the third angel's message. During the time they were in Australia, Elder J. O. Corliss again connected with the work there, and W. A. Colcourt and others entered the field as ministers, teachers, etc. Elder Olson in Australia. During Elder O. A. Olson's administration as president of the General Conference, he visited all of our leading institutions throughout the length and breadth of the land. This required extensive travel, a trip around the world. This he took the better to acquaint himself with their needs and the condition of the various missions, that thus he might be prepared to serve them impartially. It was on this journey, in 1893, that he spent several weeks in Australia. Australasian Union Conference. During this time, the Australasian Union Conference was organized, being composed of the Australian and New Zealand conferences and the Australian mission fields. This conference meets once in 2 years and is conducted on the plan of the Union conferences in other countries. During the year 1893, the few canvassers who were in this field sold an edition of 5,000 Steps to Christ, and a second edition of the same number was printed. In the summer of 1894-95, they took 4,000 orders for subscription books in 4 months. Elder Prescott in Australia. In 1895, Elder W.W. Prescott, the educational secretary of the denomination, spent a number of months in this conference, devoting much time and thought to this branch of the work. In the meantime, he conducted an educational institute which was to them of great benefit. The report made to the General Conference of the work for the year was rendered by Elder W.C. White and is as follows. Quote, "The Australian Union Conference is composed of 17 churches with 1,074 members who paid a tithe the previous year of $9,810.10. This conference has 12 ordained ministers, 2 licensees, 3 Bible workers, and 50 canvassers who sold during the year $28,731.11 worth of books. During the year, the colony of New South Wales, with 6 churches and 321 members, was separated from the Australian Conference and named the New South Wales Conference." Close quote. South African Mission. At the General Conference held in Battle Creek in 1886, the question was considered of opening a mission in South Africa. as action was taken favoring the undertaking, with the opening summer of 1887, an effort was made to establish the work in that distant land where a few who had already begun to observe the Sabbath were calling for laborers, Elders Boyd and Robinson in South Africa. For this purpose, on May 11, Elder C. L. Boyd and his family, Elder D. A. Robinson and his wife, with other workers, sailed from New York City en route to Africa by way of Liverpool and London. 3 years later, at the General Conference, Mr. P. W. B. Wessels stated that when these laborers arrived in Africa, there were about 40 persons who were already observing the Sabbath of the Fourth Commandment as the result of reading publications on the subject and from the study of the Scriptures. Elders Robinson and Boyd began the mission work in Cape Town, and from there it extended northeast nearly 800 miles to Kimberley in the Diamond Fields. Up to the year 1889, there were only two ministers, one licensee, four churches, and 80 members. These paid a tithe of $2,798.36. During this year, Elder Ira J. Hankins of America labored in Cape Town with good results, and Mr. and Mrs. Drilliard came from Nebraska to connect with the work at this place and share in the labors and privations that fall upon those called to pioneer the work in a new field. Mrs. Drilliard's labors were confined principally to the book depository, where the business of this department was left to her management, while Mr. Drilliard was occupied in the general missionary cause. During the year, on ships calling at this port, he sold books amounting to $750. Elder Haskell in Africa. It was in August of this same year that Elder Haskell arrived in Cape Town. 5 months were spent in visiting and laboring with the different companies in South Africa. By this visit, the cause was strengthened and built up, and his own heart encouraged in that he saw fruit of his labor. An interest in the educational work was aroused, insomuch that 12 students from Africa came to America to attend our denominational schools. In the meantime, the Cavesine work received due consideration. An institute in the interest of this work was held in Cape Town, conducted by Mr. E. M. Morrison, which gave new life and energy to this important branch of the message. Immediately following the instruction given at this institute, 13 canvassers in 6 months sold and delivered books to the amount of $5,621.28. In fact, so numerous were the orders that they completely swamped the London office, as books could not be prepared fast enough to meet the demand. In the year 1892, Elder A.T. Robinson connected with the work in South Africa. At the time, the work had grown to that extent that a new depository was required to take the place of the old. Hence, a new building was erected sufficiently large to furnish room for the meetings of the church. College building in Africa. Thus, the work has continued to advance step by step until at Claremont, a suburb of Cape Town, a college building was erected costing $35,000. The only help desired of the American brethren was to send a force of teachers qualified to teach a college course, and they themselves would meet the expense. This request being complied with, the school opened February 1, 1893. The South African Conference. The South African Conference was organized in 1892. At the General Conference in 1893, it was voted into the General Conference. It then had five churches, 138 members, who paid the tithe the previous year of $34,077.32. At this conference, The South African Conference was represented by Peter Wessels, who generously donated to the General Conference $16,000, this being more than the General Conference had expended in opening up the work in South Africa. In addition to this gift, he and one of his brothers donated $40,000 to begin the free dispensary work in the city of Chicago. At the General Conference in 1895, the Foreign Mission Secretary said of the African field, quote, "The conference in South Africa has been organized but 2 years, but in that time the General Conference has sent into that field 12 workers. Two of these have gone into the interior as self-supporting missionaries, while the others have entered the work in various departments. That conference has a flourishing school, an orphan's home, and a sanitarium in process of erection. The statistics show their membership as 184. Close quote. Papers published in South Africa. The subject of religious liberty in South Africa has aroused our people in the last few months to publish two papers, one in the Holland language called Die Watcher, the other in English called The South African Sentinel and Gospel Echo. The latter has a circulation of 4,000. South African Union Conference. In January 1903, the South African Union Conference was organized, consisting of the Cape Colony and Natal Transvaal Conferences and Basutoland and Matabeleland missions under the control of the Union Conference. In the conference, there are 15 organized churches with 595 members, 9 unorganized companies of 90 members, and 30 isolated Sabbath keepers, a total of 715, who paid the tithe of $7,850. There were 39 laborers, of whom 21 were on the payroll of the various conferences. The Polynesian Field. In the year 1876, Elder James White and the writer sent a volume of the Signs of the Times and some tracts, accompanied by a letter, to Pitcairn Island. These documents were placed on a ship going around Cape Horn to New York. We were assured that the ship would stop at Pitcairn, and there the parcel would be delivered. We knew not a person on the island and knew nothing of the island itself save its reputation as having for its inhabitants a devoted, godly people. The papers were sent at a venture. Visit to Pitcairn. We heard nothing from the people or our literature until Mr. John I. Tay made his visit to the island in the year 1886, 10 years later, when we learned that as a result of reading the volume of the Signs and the Tracts, the whole island at one time almost decided to change their day of worship from the first day of the week to the seventh day and keep the Lord's Sabbath. This they did not do, however, until the time of Mr. Tay's visit. He had been for a long time deeply impressed to visit the island, but knew nothing of the people personally, nor of their interest already kindled in the truth. After his return to America, he pleaded most earnestly for a ship to be constructed with which missionaries could be transported from island to island in the Pacific Ocean. He attended the General Conference held in the year 1889 with this thought uppermost in mind, and there he pled the cause of the Polynesian Islands. The conference, seeing the utility of the undertaking, voted to raise by donations the sum of $12,000 with which to build or buy a ship to work among the islands of the Pacific Ocean. The Pitcairn built. In harmony with this action, the ship Pitcairn was built in the summer of 1890 near Benicia, about 30 miles from Oakland, California, at a cost of $12,035.22. In 3/4 of a year, this sum of money was raised and donated by the Sabbath schools for this purpose alone, and never was a gift more cheerfully and enthusiastically made. The ship was dedicated at Oakland, California, September 25, 1890. About 1,500 people assembled on the ship and wharf to witness the ceremony. The Pecarin's first cruise. The vessel sailed on its first cruise from San Francisco for its distant field of labor, October 20. On board as missionaries were Elder E. H. Gates and his wife, Elder A. J. Reed and his wife, John I. Tay and his wife, with a missionary crew under Captain Marsh. This vessel went first to Pitcairn Island, 4,000 miles south of San Francisco, where it arrived November 25. When the ship left the island, December 17, 82 adults had received baptism and had been organized into a Seventh-day Adventist church. The vessel then made its way to the Society, Herve, Samoan, Friendly, and Fiji groups, leaving religious books and health and temperance tracts with the English-speaking people. During 8 months to September 1891, the missionaries sold books to the amount of $1,900, besides distributing a large amount of reading matter free. The missionaries were stationed as follows. Elder Reed at Tahiti. Elder Gates remained at Pitcairn to finish the work already begun there, while Mr. Tay chose to labor on the island of Fiji. In the review of April 14, 1904, Elder Fulton says of the work on Fiji, quote, "There are now more than 150 Sabbath keepers in this mission field," close quote. From Fiji, the vessel sailed to Auckland, New Zealand, for necessary repairs and needed improvements, and also for a supply of books. The death of missionaries. After an absence of 1 year, 11 months, and 18 days, the Pitcairn returned to San Francisco, where it arrived October 9, 1892. During this time, Captain Marsh had passed away and had been buried in the island of New Zealand. Mr. Tay was stricken with pneumonia, from which he never recovered. He, too, passed peacefully away and was laid to rest in the distant land of Fiji, and thus were two precious lives given so soon to the Polynesian mission. The missionaries located on the island of Tahiti at Papeete were led to rejoice in seeing almost immediately fruits of their labor. They were enabled to send to the homeland at this date the cheering report of 40 persons converted and organized into a Seventh-day Adventist church. The Pitcairn's second trip. The vessel set sail from San Francisco on its second voyage, January 17, 1893, with the following missionaries. B.J. Caddy and his wife, J.M. Cole and his wife, E.C. Chapman and his wife, and M.G. Kellogg, M.D., Miss Haiti Andre of Ohio, accompanied them as teacher for Pitcairn Island. In the fall of 1893, Mr. Caddy opened a school at Ratia of the Society Group with 60 scholars. At the close of the first term, the number had increased to 105. At the opening of the second term, there were 120 pupils in attendance. The Pitcairn's third trip. The third cruise of the ship was taken in 1893-94. The missionaries for this voyage were G.C. Wellman and his wife, Lillian White, all of Michigan, who were booked for Ratia, where they were to assist Elder Caddy in his work. Mr. Stringer and his wife went as self-supporting missionaries. They stopped at Ruritu, at Rontanga, where the people kept Saturday for Sunday. Dr. Cadwell and his wife were stationed with Elder Buckner, and his wife of California were left at Pitcairn. During his sojourn with this people, many new industries were introduced, which have in many ways proved beneficial to the inhabitants. First of all, a windmill for grinding the corn which is now raised on the island was built, and from the same wind power, light machinery is carried, which has led to other industries heretofore unknown to the islanders. The Pitcairn's fourth trip. December 15, 1895, the Foreign Mission Secretary said, quote, "The Pitcairn is now in port from its fourth cruise. The work has been planted in 9 different groups, and the following laborers are employed in the same. In Pitcairn Island, teachers E.S. Butts and his wife, and Haiti Andre. Norfolk Island, some self-supporting missionaries are engaged in the same work here, who came from Australia. Society Islands, Minister B.J. Caddy, medical missionaries, Mr. and Mrs. R.A. Prickett, Ratunga, medical missionaries, Dr. J.E. Cadwell and wife, Mrs. Lillian White and Maud Young, teachers, G.O. Wellman and wife, Elder J.D. Rice and wife, Fiji, Elder J.M. Cole and wife, Friendly Islands, Elder E. Hilliard and wife, Rupertu, Mr. and Mrs. Stringer, self-supporting missionaries, Hawaii, Elder E.H. Gates and wife, teachers H.H. Brand and wife, Samoa, Dr. F.E. Branch and wife, Elder D.A. Owen and son and daughter, self-supporting missionaries. The Pitcairn has sold and given away large quantities of literature during its 4 voyages. In consequence, Sabbath keepers have sprung up in many places. Churches have been organized at Pitcairn Island, Norfolk, and Tahiti." Close quote. The Pitcairn sold. As there are now facilities for reaching the Polynesian field, which did not exist when the ship was constructed, the vessel has been sold and other means employed for carrying on the work. Elder E.H. Gates is now superintendent of the Polynesian field and reports progress in the various groups. The West Indies. In the winter of 1889, Mr. William Arnold of America began coal porter work in the West Indies. While thus engaged, he was successful in obtaining the names and addresses of 1,200 persons, which were sent to the International Trank Society for its use in missionary work. By correspondence and the sending of reading matter to these addresses, an interest was awakened in the truth, and thus was the way opened for the proclamation of the gospel through the preaching of the word. In response to the call made for ministerial labor, Elder D.A. Ball, in November 1890, went to the Barbados and to other points to labor. Several persons accepted the truth as a result of his efforts. In 1892, Mr. Patterson from California canvassed the islands for Bible readings with great success. In 1893, B.B. Newman went from Florida to Jamaica to take the superintendency of the canvassing work during the absence of Mr. Arnold. Mr. Evans and Mr. Hackett also went to the Indies the same year to engage in this branch of work. In the month of May, Elder Hazemer and his wife entered this field to labor as the way might open. Soon after this, Mr. Arnold returned, this time to canvass for books treating upon the subject of health. Up to July 1895, books of this character had been sold in Jamaica alone to the amount of $8,200, while the sale of religious books amounted to $7,654, or a total of $15,854. This distribution of so large an amount of literature aided much in establishing at Kingston a well-organized church of 75 members and opening avenues for ministerial labor in other parts of the island. Trinidad. The work here was introduced in a manner similar to that of Jamaica. In the year 1889, Mr. F. B. Grant and his wife were invited to visit the island for the purpose of introducing our denominational literature, and by invitation, Elder Flowers and his wife soon followed them to labor as the way opened. They met with good success until Elder Flowers was stricken with fever, which caused his death June 29, 1894. Elder E. W. Webster was chosen as his successor, and he sailed from New York in August 1895. In 1896, the laborers in the West Indies were as follows. In Jamaica, Elder A. J. Hazmer and W. W. Eastman and a number of canvassers were in the Bahama Islands. In the Lesser Antilles were Elder E. Van Dusen and his wife, with C.F. Parmley and his wife as Bible workers, Mr. Bean and Mr. Hackett as canvassers. In Trinidad, Elder E.W. Webster and his wife, with Miss Stella Colvin as medical missionary. The results? 110 Sabbath keepers in Jamaica, 50 Sabbath keepers in Trinidad, centered around Cuba, one church in Barbados, and one company in Antigua, Lesser Antilles, Central America. Elder F.J. Hutchins and his wife left the United States for the Bay Islands November 16, 1891. At this time, there were principally in Rutan about 20 persons who were observing the Sabbath of the Fourth Commandment according to the Decalogue, their attention being first called to this truth by reading matter sent them by post. 3 years later, in 1894, W. A. Miller and his wife left California for Banaca, where they connected with the educational work as teachers in a school which was opened July 4, 1894, in a school building erected by Seventh-day Adventists. The attendance during the first term was an average of 34. In 1895, the school was pronounced self-sustaining as the number of pupils had increased to 45. At the General Conference held in 1895, Elder Hutchins reported 100 persons on the islands who were obeying the message, and he also stated that there had been two meeting houses erected which were owned by Seventh-day Adventists. On account of scarcity of land, and therefore very valuable for cultivation, one of these houses of worship was built over the water. These two buildings and the schoolhouse were deeded to the General Conference Association. The value of the conference property on the island was estimated to be $1,789.60. The amount of the book sold up to 1895 was $2,243. Small ship for Central America. The attention of the conference being directed to the convenience and advantages of having a small ship by which missionaries could be conveyed from one island to another, it was voted that such a boat be constructed for the work among the Bay Islands at a cost not to exceed $3,000. In 1896, there were only four laborers in Central America, Elder F. J. Hutchins and his wife, and Elder J. A. Morrow and his wife in Spanish Honduras. At Belize, the capital of British Honduras, was a company of believers who were keeping the seventh day according to the Fourth Commandment. The greater part of the labor in this field has been performed in the islands of the Caribbean Sea. Here, several thousand dollars worth of books had been sold, and 60 persons were rejoicing in the truth of the third angel's message. Elder Hutchins' death. About 12 years did Elder F. J. Hutchins labor most faithfully and earnestly in the Central American field. At last his endurance failed, and he succumbed to disease. He now rests in sleep, awaiting the call from the Master, a call that shall wake the faithful. South America. It was through the printed page that the views of Seventh-day Adventists were first introduced into South America. In October 1891, Snyder, Stauffer, and Nolan began their work as canvassers in Argentine. In 1893, by vote of the General Conference, Elder F. H. Westfall of Illinois, a German minister connected with the work in this mission field, and in 1894, Frank Kelly of California went to the United States of Columbia as a self-supporting missionary. A few months later, those were followed by other laborers, and thus a beginning was made in this new mission. In 1896, the following report was given concerning the work in this field. Chile has one minister, Elder G. H. Barber, who arrived October 19, 1895, and two canvassers, F. W. Richards and F. H. Davis. Argentine has also two ministers, F. H. Westfall and Jean Volumeyer, and two canvassers, O. Opegard and C. A. Nolan. Besides these, there are four Bible workers, Lucy Post, Mr. and Mrs. Snyder, and John McCarthy. Brazil has two ministers, Elder H. W. Thurston and F. H. Graff, and three canvassers, A. B. Stauffer, J. F. and A. J. A. Berger. British Guiana has two ministers, Elder W. G. Neeland and Elder P. Giddings, and two medical missionaries, Dr. B. J. Furcoit and his wife. In 1896, there had been $1,000 worth of books sold in Chile, and 30 Sabbath keepers had accepted the Sabbath and kindred truths by reading the literature purchased of the canvassers. In Brazil and Argentine, books had been sold to the amount of $10,000, and what was still better, there were 100 observing the Sabbath. One church and five Sabbath schools had been organized. In Argentine, there were three organized churches at Buenos Aires, Crespo, and San Cristobal, respectively. There was also one organized church in British Guiana, and 50 Sabbath keepers, making a total of 157th Day Adventists in South America. The Southern Missionary Society. Strictly speaking, this society cannot be called foreign, notwithstanding it is doing a work in evangelizing a foreign people, Africans, in our homeland. Much credit is due to the persevering efforts of Elder J. E. White under the blessing of God for the results already attained. In the winter of 1893, when I was serving as president of the Illinois Conference, Elder White came to me heavily burdened for the colored people in the southern states. As he was spending a few weeks in Chicago, he requested the privilege of laboring for the colored people living in the city. Most gladly was the request granted, and there really began his work for this unfortunate people. Elder White's missionary steamer. From that time he was praying and planning for the southern field. As he studied, his plans matured, culminating in the construction of a steamer near Lake Michigan called the Morning Star. Provided with this floating Bethel, he went to Chicago, thence down the Illinois and Mississippi rivers, reaching Vicksburg, Mississippi, January 10, 1895. Here, with a few associates, he began his labor on virgin soil. Work of the Southern Missionary Society. We quote from a report made by Elder White at the General Conference, April 9, 1903, which gives the results of labor and shows the condition of the Southern missionary work at that date. Quote, "Our society has built up and is now operating five schools in Mississippi. These schools are located at Vicksburg, Yazoo City, Columbus, and Jackson. Our laborers have also carried forward efforts in Nashville, Memphis, and Edgefield Junction in Tennessee, and in Louisville and Bowling Green in Kentucky." Workers in the South. At the present time, there are 27 workers in different departments of the society. 5 ordained ministers have been deployed in the work of the Southern Missionary Society. 13 school teachers have in different ways been fitted for their work. 1 young man is being educated by the society as a physician at the Meharry Medical College of Nashville, and another is being assisted in his course at the same school. Some good Bible workers have been developed. Some of the teachers are also becoming proficient workers in this department. The steamer Morning Star. The Morning Star is my personal property built with my own money. Further than this, the running expenses of this boat have all been paid from my own income. I will also say that the living expenses on the boat were always met by myself. Often the company numbered from 10 to 18 hands. Even the salaries of all the workers employed by the society for years were not taken from donations, but from my own personal income. How money came for the Southern Mission. The question may be raised, where did you get this money? The Lord gave it to us. Some little books were brought out, first the Gospel Primer, the original design of which was for use in teaching the colored people. The sale of a few thousand copies were expected, but to our astonishment, it has reached nearly 1 million copies. Mother, Mrs. E.G. White, helped us with the book Christ Our Savior, which had a sale of 300,000 or 400,000. 200,000 or 300,000 copies of Best Stories have been sold. It is estimated that a sufficient number of Coming King have been circulated to make a column 4 miles high. With the royalties from these books, besides carrying many other enterprises and lines of work, we built the Morning Star. Close quote. In many lands, Mexico. Our work in this country began in the year 1894 in the establishment of a medical mission at Guadalajara. In 1896, the force of laborers was reported as follows. Elder D.T. Jones and his wife, who had charge of the mission. The teachers were Ora A. Osborne, Mrs. A. Cooper, Kate Ross, and a native helper. The medical missionaries were Dr. J. A. Neal, A. Cooper, Mrs. A. J. Rice, Mrs. Bartlett, and Mrs. Rachel Flowers. 40 patients per day were patronizing the mission, and 40 students attended the mission school. A new sanitarium was being constructed at this date at a cost of $12,000. Central Africa. In 1893, the cause of the third angel's message had so advanced that the General Conference Committee felt justified in recommending that a mission be established in Central Africa. It was therefore voted, quote, that as soon as practical, a mission be opened in Matabeleland, close quote. In harmony with this action, a party of Seventh-day Adventists in 1894 entered that country and selected a farm of 12,000 acres. At the conference in 1895, Elder C.B. Tripp and his wife, W.H. Anderson and his wife, Dr. A.S. Carmichael, were chosen as the missionaries for this distant field. They at once began preparations for the long journey, and after a prosperous voyage reached their destination July 26, 1895. The Gold Coast. For a number of years, the Macedonian cry for help had come to Seventh-day Adventists from the west coast of Africa. An interest had been awakened in the truth by reading Adventist publications, but not until the year 1894 or thereabout was help sent. Then Elder Sanford and Mr. Rudolph were invited by the General Conference Committee to take up the work that had been so long waiting. They entered the field with zeal and courage. Not long afterward, however, Elder Sanford was smitten with the fever so prevalent there that the country is called the white man's grave. He had 3 attacks. and then, in order to live, he was compelled to return to America. Others were sent to the West Coast, among whom were Elder D.U. Hale, George F. Kerr and his wife, and G.P. Riggs. The latter, however, was so weakened by disease that his life was despaired of, and he fled to England in the hope of being benefited by a change of climate. In this, he and his friends were disappointed, for he gradually failed and finally died, and there he was buried. He, too, awaits the coming of the life-giver. India. January 12, 1890, Elder Haskell sailed from Port Durban, southeast coast of Africa, for Calcutta, India, China, and Japan. Previous to this date, Percy T. McGann, his secretary, had joined him. The purpose of this journey to India was in the line of prospecting to gain information that would enable them to give counsel and advice when active missionary operations should begin by Seventh-day Adventists in that field. With the thought in mind of establishing a mission in India, the General Conference in 1893 recommended that William Linker go to that country as a coal porter. In compliance with this recommendation, he went to India and introduced the literature of Seventh-day Adventists. At a later date, Mr. Linker reported that he and four other persons had, up to 1896, canvassed in various parts of India and had sold $10,000 worth of publications. To show the interest created by the books sold, he further stated that while canvassing in the vicinity of Madras on the west coast of India, a native preacher walked 60 miles to purchase a copy of Thoughts on Daniel and the Revelation. Georgia Burroughs in India. In 1895, Miss Georgia Burroughs left California for India. On arriving there, she at once began the study of the Bengali language and soon entered upon the mission work. Up to 1896, several persons had begun the observance of the Lord's Sabbath through association with our workers. The laborers in the field in 1896 were Elder D.A. Robinson and his wife, Miss May Taylor, and Miss Georgia Burroughs were Bible workers. Mr. Linker and Mr. Masters were canvassers. A suitable building had been secured for the mission home, and calls for physicians, nurses, and further help to meet the demands that were pressing upon them had been made to the homeland. To this call, Elder Brown with others responded. Both he and Elder D.A. Robinson died at Karmatar, Bengal, India, the last of December, 1899. Hawaii, Sandwich Islands. In the year 1884, Mr. LaRue and Henry Scott, at their own expense, went as missionaries to Hawaii. They began their labor by doing personal missionary work and selling books. This awakened such an interest on the island that the General Conference in November 1885 voted that Elder Healy go to the next season to Hawaii to labor, and that the California Conference be requested to loan a tent for this purpose. Thus equipped, Elder Healy and those already on the island conducted a tent meeting during the summer of 1886. As the result of this effort, a number of persons accepted the message. Mr. LaRue remained in Honolulu till the year 1889, when he set sail for Hong Kong, China. Chinese work in Hawaii. But little ministerial labor was furnished the island until the General Conference convened in the month of March 1895, at which time a vote was taken that Elder Gates and his wife, with Mr. and Mrs. Brown as teachers for the Chinese, go to Honolulu to engage in missionary labor. The work of teaching began at once, and Elder Gates, although in feeble health, did what he could in pushing the work. A physician and nurses soon followed the missionaries, and the work in that line of the message was well begun. Summary of Missions, January 1, 1903. The report of the Foreign Missionary Secretary, rendered December 31, 1902, presents the work of the message as carried on outside the United States as follows. The Australian Union Conference, made up of the conferences of Victoria, New South Wales, New Zealand, Queensland, South Australia, Tasmania, and West Australia. The European General Conference, composed of the German Union Conference, West German, East German, South German, Holland, and Flemish Belgium, Austro-Hungary and Balkan States, German Swiss, South Russian, North Russian, and Middle Russian. The Scandinavian Union Conference, consisting of Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Iceland. The British Union Conference, embracing North England, South England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. The French Latin Union Conference, comprising the French Swiss, France, and Italy. The Oriental Mission, comprising Egypt, Syria, and Turkey. The South African Union Conference, comprising Cape Colony, Natal Transvaal, Bootheland and Matabeleland, miscellaneous, Bermuda, Brazil, British and Dutch Guiana, Central America, South, China, Fiji, India, Jamaica, Japan, Lesser Antilles, Mexico, Nassauland, Pitcairn, Puerto Rico, River Plate, Rarotonga, Samoa, Society Islands, Sumatra, Tonga, Trinidad, West Coast, South America, West Coast, Africa. The number of active workers in these different fields, including ministers, licensees, Bible workers, coal porters, and canvassers, is 754. Strategic points established. From these brief statements, in regard to our missions, we can say, as did the Foreign Mission Secretary in the year 1896, quote, "With these strategic positions now occupied by the message in almost every part of the world, God, by His infinite power, can accomplish a great and powerful work in a very short time. He will cut short His work in righteousness." This is the end of chapter 26.